Hey, this is Pearls and Swines. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Travis Williams, and to my right is John Moorbacher. And today we're talking about royalty. I was reading an article not too long ago, and it said that Prince William was being naughty, and he was cheating on Princess. Is she a princess? Middleton? Kate Middleton?
Prince,
well, I don't know.
Are they married? Were they married?
Middleton?
Yeah. I don't pay attention to that.
In the world. Duchess?
Yes, of course she is.
If it's a prince, then it's got to be a princess.
So my wife, I told my wife this because she was all into the royal family, and she was like, what are you reading? And I showed her a couple articles. She's like, that's like the gossip, like the Inquirer type of the internet. I didn't know this. And so I guess he's not. I just thought he was a little scumbag and was doing what he wanted to do. But I guess that is actually not a true statement. I was thinking about the royalty, and if you had a choice, would you like to be like Prince William, who is in succession to be the king at some point, or would you rather be like Prince Harry, who is his brother, or Pippa Middleton, who is Kate Middleton's sister? You guys choose.
This is like modern day prince and princess.
Yeah. You're connected somehow, or you're... So one is you're connected, that's Pippa.
Yep.
One is you got to kill your brother to be king.
And is that the guy that moved to like California?
Yeah, he married whatever.
Yeah, I'll be that guy.
Why?
I don't know. California sounds good.
He moved to Canada, I think.
Junior
America.
Kate Middleton or...
What?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't be Kate Middleton. That was not one of the things. What's wrong with you knuckleheads? It was Pippa Middleton, who was connected, but she's not royalty.
Right.
You could be Harry, who has to kill his brother to be king, or you could be William, who has all the pressure and is going to eventually, as long as he doesn't die, be the king.
Yeah, that's easy for me. I'd be Harry. He's got a lot of the benefits, and he's not the guy who's under the microscope in the same way. Assuming that the Queen of England ever passes away, she might not. I think that's a possibility at this point.
Yeah, she's like, her and Betty White were
Betty White,
and her were going at it for who's going
to
live longer.
Yeah, so I think he's got a lot of the benefits, so to speak. He doesn't have to deal with the. It seems like a lot. My understanding is very limited of the royal system there, but it seems like it's a very figurehead kind of position, and so he gets the nice benefits of it without having to go.
Yeah, and he can go up to Junior America, live in Canada,
do whatever he wants.
I mean,
but you're not a prince at that point, I guess. I think you're a duke.
Yeah,
that sounds
great.
Duke sounds cooler. Yeah, I'm in. I'm Harry.
You're Harry.
Yep. Yeah. Just because you get a better name, and you're still in the line. If something happens to Big Bro, you're the next man up.
And they're poor dad.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he probably shouldn't be king, but that's a whole other thing. That's for the English folk to figure out. Anyway, we were thinking about this idea of royalty. And I was also, as I was doing that, there's a passage of scripture that's really odd. It talks about that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter is talking to a scattered bunch of Christians, because Nero was in charge at the time, and Nero was using Christians as his scapegoat because Rome caught on fire and he said it was their fault. And Peter is writing to them to encourage them, and he says, you're a royal priesthood. But before then, he says that you're scattered or that you're strangers in the land. And I thought, man, this is a really interesting thing. They're not in their kingdom, because if you're a priesthood, a royal priesthood, there has to be the idea of royalty. There has to be some type of kingdom. And I was thinking about, what if Prince William moved to Houghton? What would that be like for him?
It'd be a shell shock, culture shock, I'm sure, because we don't have, you know, a palace where they hang out. It would just be totally different. He'd be totally out of context for his life, right?
Well, he would never fit in.
Yeah.
He would never... Even if he snowblowed, right? Like, even if he snowblowed his own driveway, he wouldn't fit in. He has a funny accent, and he probably drinks tea instead of coffee. And so there's lots of odd things about this guy, right?
Are you describing me?
Yeah, No, I am not.
I do have a little bit of a lisp is like an accent. I drink tea.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
There you go.
I just moved
Crumpets
here.
At three.
I'm looking for a kingdom to, never mind.
But so, he'd always stick out. Like he would, yeah. People know who he is or would know who he is because he's got some notoriety and some fame. Like you can't hide from that. Maybe in a city, but definitely not in Houghton.
Yeah.
So in this passage, what I thought was really interesting is that he talks about them, us who are followers of Jesus, being a royal priesthood. And oftentimes you'll hear people say things like, well, I'm a member of whatever church that may be. Well, you're not just a member, right? There's something else going on. You're adopted, you're chosen, you're connected. If you've said yes to Jesus, you're a part of the family of God. You're a child of God. Outside of saying yes to Jesus, you're not a child of God. You're created in the image of God. But in that moment, you also inherit all of Daddy's good stuff, and you become a part of this royal priesthood. Let's unpack that just a little bit today. What is he talking about? How is that possible? And what does that mean for the person that has said yes to Jesus to be a part of a royalty and a royal priesthood?
Should we talk first about like some of the background in scripture around priests and what a priest did?
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, going back to the Old Testament, we see priests fulfilling this role of kind of being the in-between so that God's people could stay connected to God. So the priests were making sacrifices on behalf of the people. The priests were kind of the representatives of the people and vice versa to God. So it was a very important role, but it was also very exclusive.
Yeah, the priesthood, they were the ones who made sacrifices for the people and they offered it to him. They were set apart. They didn't have other jobs. They were connected to that and the people would bring in their tithes and they would live off of that. There's actually two priestly orders in the Old Testament. One is the Melchizedek. That is a royal order, and it's part of the line of David, all of this other stuff. And then there is the line of Aaron, and that's Moses' bro. Aaron was, it came out of, and he was the holy one, or he was connected to the holiness, or helping the people to walk in holiness. So I think one of the things that we can see out of this idea of being a royal priesthood is that we're a part of a kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and the kingdom is the kingdom of God, and we have rights to that kingdom. We have an inheritance to that kingdom, but we also are called as priests in that kingdom, and God wanted to have a gathering of priests. Those who are set apart, those who are holy, those who are consecrated. And one of the things that means is that we have no mediator, to go back to that, between God and between mankind. That mediator, we only have one mediator, and that mediator was Jesus. Once his blood was sprinkled upon us, we had access to the throne room of God, which is one of the things that the priests did. On a yearly basis, they would go into the Holy of Holies, a place where God was dwelling, and they would make a sacrifice on behalf of the people. That happened when Jesus died on the cross. He was the perfect lamb. All of the lambs before then were really just interest payments. Mm-hmm. Jesus exchanges mm-hmm. his life for our life. The one who was perfectly righteous becomes our sacrifice. And so now, when God looks at us, he looks at these priests, these holy ones, these ones who can go before his throne.
And the cool part about Christ being the high priest is you look in Matthew when the crucifixion happened and the veil of the temple was torn. And that was like the covering for the doorway to the Holy of Holies that you were talking about. And so now, as we're adopted into God's family through belief, through his son Jesus, death, burial, resurrection, we have that ability to come right to God because of Jesus, which is pretty mind-boggling if you think about that. We have this opportunity where we don't need an intermediary anymore because of that ultimate sacrifice that was paid in full on our behalf.
Yeah, there is, in this holy priesthood, there's this offering that happens. Well, what's the offering there? The scriptures say the offering is us. Yeah. Like, we've given our lives to the proclamation of the gospel and to the furthering of his kingdom.
Yeah, and you know, there's also a piece to this royal priesthood and being invited into this holy nation and, you know, these people who are belong to God, as we read in 1 Peter 2, of it's an evening of the, I'm sorry, I can't say it right. It's making the playing field even. That's what I'm trying to
evening.
Say. Evening. Yep. Of the playing field, where, you know, when we talk about the Old Testament picture of priests, they were often viewed as better than regular people. And in this, now there's an equaling of things. We're all invited to this priesthood. We're all able to go before God. You know, go back to the Protestant Reformation, and passages like this were really important as people like Martin Luther tried to question the structures that were in place, the leadership, the hierarchy. He was clearly interpreting passages like this to say that we're all invited into this. And as you know, Pastor Levi said, now there's only one mediator between us and God, and it's Jesus Christ, and we all have access. This is one of those verses, as many do, that pack a punch in terms of we could sit and unpack the meaning and the significance, and it's really deep.
Well, right before that, he talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, "You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And so he's talking about the ecclesia, the gathering, yeah, the coming together, the one another's practicing those things. It's not just individually, you're John, you're a priest, and I'm a priest. It is a collective royal priesthood where all of our gifts, the Bible says that our gifts, we have gifts. When we say yes to Jesus, the Spirit of the living God enters into us and gives us a spiritual gift for the betterment of the body. Everybody has one. Some have different ones. They're not more or less important. They're just different. And so one of our gifts is the gift of standing up and yapping for 45 minutes.
It's a great gift.
It's a great gift. That's what God gave us to do. And so that's one of the things that we practice. Other people have different gifts. They have gifts of service. They have gifts of generosity. They have gifts that the Spirit has given them for the betterment for this living stone. If you think of a brick in a building, each one of those bricks are fairly important to the whole structure.
Yeah, I mean, it represents a shift too, especially at the time that this was written in 1 Peter. This idea that was probably hard for many of the Jewish leaders, that Jesus is making it possible for other people to be on an equal footing with them when it comes to God, and they thought they were in a special position. So that's one of the things that's a distinguishing mark for us too as pastors, is we're reading passages like this. It's clear that my access to God as a pastor is no different than anyone else's. You know, there's authority in the church that comes with this role, but the access piece is the part of the big significance.
Well, we've all been around the little old prayer warrior type of a person who just, man, they're just before the throne of God constantly. And when they pray, like, God just answers. Mm-hmm. I pray, and sometimes I think he answers, but it's not like, boom, like how it works for them. So I think there's just different gifts or different positions within the structure of this royal priesthood. These living stones being put into a spiritual house that God has designed for his kingdom.
The part that is most intriguing is that it's royal and priesthood combined. And to be royalty is a family lineage. There's a line that you come down through. And the shocking part for the Old Testament priest during that time is that, like you said, everybody gets access to this now. And the mind-blowing part for them was that it was Jews and Gentiles. It was for all people. Yeah. And in later on in that chunk of 1 Peter in chapter 9, it talks about how God is, he's got a chosen generation, his own special people, and that opened up the door for everybody. Mm-hmm. Jesus wasn't just for the Jewish people. He wasn't just for Israel. He wasn't just for the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was for everyone. Yeah. And that's pretty awesome.
One of the things that I was thinking about when it comes to priest and priesthood is one of their jobs was to bring God to man and man to God. Instead of having like an individual or a group like that are signified, he says the whole church is designed to do this. The whole church is to be these living sacrifices. Mm-hmm. in this royal priesthood, those who bring God to man, caring for God's people and bringing man to God, really introducing people to who Christ is and who God is through the person of Christ.
With that carries some burden of responsibility, right? You know, we're called kings and priests, the royalty of all that. And so we are to live in that reflection of the privilege that we have as believers with, was it Spider-Man, Uncle Ben, with great power comes great responsibility, which I think is a really accurate statement for what we have in that privileged priesthood, that royal priesthood through what Jesus has done.
Yes, the work of Christ on the cross has done some incredible things for us in opening that door to all of the sacrifices, the peace offerings, the sin offerings, all of the things that you read about in the Old Testament are caught up in the person of Jesus Christ. And his sacrifice that he did on the cross for us was sufficient to complete all of those things. And we get to enter in to the Holy of Holies, a beautiful place where we have communication, direct communication with the creator of the world, where he is hearing us and responding to us, where that never was before.
There's something so audacious about this too. I'm thinking back to your opening question about, you know, what if we could join into the royal family? The craziness of what we're invited into when we're invited into this royal priesthood and this holy nation. I think it's even crazier than if, forget about I become Prince Harry. Let's just say I just get invited as myself, John, to be a new member of the royal family. People would be like, what? This is ridiculous. Why? What is he? You know, there's no precedence for that. Yeah. It doesn't fit the rules that were established. It would be ridiculous. And I think there's a level of that with how amazing this is that, you know, I think we can skip over sometimes because it doesn't feel as present maybe as something like that. But, you know, as we're talking about the eternal ramifications of it and the purpose and the meaning that comes with it is pretty incredible.
The future implications of this are pretty incredible also.
Yeah.
And I think that at times, and when Peter's writing this, these people were scattered because of Nero. They were not in their home, and he calls them strangers, exiles.
Yeah.
He's talking to various different places that have pockets of Christians in them, but I think he's talking to all of Christians for all time, because when we say yes to Jesus and we enter into the royal priesthood, this is no longer our home. This isn't it. This is something else for us. And it is a place where sometimes the laws don't go our way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the culture says that we're crazy. Sometimes the values that we hold to, not everyone holds to, because part of being a royal priesthood is holding the values of the kingdom and holding the values of what is held sacred in that kingdom. One of the things that is interesting, I think, in this is the projection of when Jesus comes back, and he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but when he comes back, and he gathers his people and he brings his people to be with him, we will then be in our home. Bible talks about heaven, which often people think that's their home. Well, you were never meant to be just a spiritual being. Jesus himself, when he was resurrected, had a resurrected body. Mm-hmm. And we too will have resurrected bodies. And the Bible says there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will dwell with God on this new earth, and we will be that royal priesthood, these living stones that praise and worship through our work and through all the things that we do. But this isn't our home, and so we're journeying through it, and we're not so holy that we're of no earthly good,
right?
But we are not in our home place. We are strangers at times, and the things that we think and the things that we believe, the things that we hold to that are values of the kingdom of God are not always mainstream, are not always a part of the culture. I think that's part of the tension we have right now in America. We once had much more of the kingdom values as mainstream, and now we have much less of that. So be encouraged. If you've said yes to Jesus, you are a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood called by God to be living sacrifices, to bring God to man and man to God. It's part of what you have been given as a gift. You're a part of a different kingdom. If you're having a rough day, dwell on that. Hold on to that, that God is still in charge. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to come someday, and all is going to be well. He's going to make all things new. We're excited about that day. If you've never said yes to Jesus, I'm just going to tell you, you're not a part of the kingdom. You're not a part of the royal priesthood. And yet the gospel is very clear that we are to believe in the one that God has sent, and that is Jesus. If you've never read your Bibles, open the book of Mark and just read through the gospels. Start there and see what Jesus did for you and for us.
This has been Pearls and Swine. If you guys liked what we talked about today, you can catch us, any of our podcasts actually, on your Google or Apple device. Just search Houghton Podcast. You can always find them on evangelup.org as well. And if you've got any topics or ideas that you'd like us to cover, or just questions, feel free to email us at travis@evangelup.org.